We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rugby is a badass sport.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 85 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. As always, I'm your host. Got a big show for everybody today. A lot of Colorado XO news to talk about, which I'm excited about. That's obviously what I know best. I'm around all the time, so I enjoy talking about all that stuff. So we'll go ahead and start the show off the same way we do every week. That's by jumping into the breakdown. It's a Colorado XO heavy breakdown this week. And the biggest news of the week is that Colorado XO prop Ma'ake Moody has signed a contract to play with the Los Angeles Giltinis. The Giltinis are low on props. They're having trouble filling in their roster. They got a lot of guys hurt right now. So big opportunity for Ma'ake. It sounds like he tried out with them last weekend and he got, you know, he got the offer. And so that's awesome news for him and great to hear. I heard about this on Monday, so I was kind of waiting for it to drop. And it did on Thursday afternoon. So just a little bit about Ma'ake. He's a guy that signed with the XOs ahead of their trip to New Orleans. He was originally signed to play with the Dallas Jackals for this 2021 season before Dallas decided to withdraw and push their inaugural season back to 2022. So he's kind of stuck, left without a team. And how he wound up with the XOs is kind of a funny story. XO manager Peter Pask, come on the show before, said he was up at one of the hot springs in the mountains and ran into Ma'ake's brother, Natani, who plays for the Broncos. Just said, like, if you see a massive guy like this, you go talk to him. Started talking to him, said that his brother, was going to play for the Dallas team before that all didn't work out. So Peter invited him to the XOs for a workout, and the kind of the rest is history. I know it was kind of a quick turnaround. Like I said, he came in, I think he practiced for like a week or two, and then was on the plane to New Orleans to play in that first match in February. And it obviously went very well for him since he found his way to the Giltinis. And I think this is a big move because it speaks to kind of what this like XO program is about. And I know Ma'ake is a little bit different because he is one of the guys that came to the team with prior rugby experience. But he is still a guy that played college football when he was in college. He was a three-sport athlete in high school. I think he did track and field. He played football. He's doing all these different things. So he does fit the mold, but he was kind of an outlier because he does have prior rugby experience. But this program like gave him the opportunity to play, you know, a month's worth of rugby. He got him in here. He stayed in shape. He trained for 2 months at altitude and it worked out for him. He's got a contract with the Giltinis. So like I said, speaks to kind of what the XOs are doing. I've said this when I went on the rugby rant a couple months ago, I've said it on a few other platforms as well. But I've been looking forward to a day like this because I always knew that it was going to happen. And I've said it before, this team was not designed, it wasn't built to be a feeder team to MLR clubs, but just based on the natural progression of players, like that was always going to happen. And it finally did. You know, we had Peter come on last year in September and talk about, you know, and Mark Bullock too, if something was to happen and a team was to offer one of these guys, you know, what would happen? Would they be allowed to go? And they said, yeah, of course. So this is, you know, proof is in the pudding here. I've seen a lot of people saying that. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of working. The proof is in the pudding with Ma'ake Moody signing a deal to go play at the Giltinis. And I wouldn't be surprised if more players make the jump here. I don't know about this year or what, but I can tell you, you know, for a fact that there are other players on this team that are garnering some interest from around the MLR. So we'll see what happens. So like I said, I got to know Make just a little bit. He was only around for you know, 2 months or so. But every interaction I had with him, he's very pleasant, super nice guy. You know, I enjoyed talking to him on the few chances that I did get to chat with him. We wish him nothing but the best of luck in Los Angeles. I mean, he's going to a good team. He's going to a team that has the, you know, the ability to win it all this year. So best of luck to Make. In other Colorado XO news, the XOs are back in action this week after having 2 weeks off. They're on the road. They play against Clemson on Saturday. I think that starts at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. And I have a good interview with former Eagle Clemson director of rugby Troy Hall later in the show. So we get into all that stuff. It's kind of cool to hear the other side of things since we have been, you know, talking to so many of the XO players. It's good to get, you know, the other perspective from a director of rugby, a coach that is preparing his team to play the XOs. So like I said, we'll jump into all that later in the show. That kind of does it for the breakdown this week. Not a whole lot of news. So we can go ahead and jump into all the rugby that you can watch this weekend. So Guinness Pro 14 is off this weekend as they prepare for the Rainbow Cup next weekend. We'll talk a little bit more about that when that comes. European Champions Cup is off for a couple weeks as well. Looks like that picks up on May 1st and May 2nd for the semifinal rounds. Those will be on Peacock when those happen. But again, we'll talk about that when that comes around the corner. We've got Premiership Rugby in action this weekend. We got Northampton versus London Irish on Friday at 12:45 p.m. We've got Exeter versus Wasps on Saturday at 5:30 a.m. We've got Sale versus Gloucester on Saturday at 5:30 a.m. We've got Newcastle versus Bristol on Saturday at 10 a.m. We've got Harlequins versus Worcester on Saturday at 10 a.m. And then we have Bath versus Leicester on Sunday at 8 a.m. You can watch all of those matches on Peacock as well. Moving into the women's game, we've got the Lions Premier 15s back in action after a weekend off. So we've got Bristol Bears women versus DMP Durham Sharks on Saturday at 6 a.m. We've got Gloucester Hartbury women's RFC versus Wasp FC ladies on Saturday at 6 a.m. We've got Harlequins women versus Worcester Warriors women on Saturday at 6 a.m. We've got Loughborough Lightning versus Saracens women on Saturday at 6 a.m. That will be the match that is live streamed this week. You can catch it on England Rugby's YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter page. And then you got Sale Sharks women versus Exeter Chiefs women also on Saturday at 6 a.m. So make sure you check all the Loughborough Lightning and Saracens women's match in those places that I told you. Moving into Super Rugby, Super Rugby Australia. We're in round nine. It's kind of crazy. We're already in round nine here. But we got Force versus Waratahs on Saturday at 3:45 a.m. And then we have the Rebels versus the Brumbies on Saturday at 10 p.m. You can catch both of those matches on that ESPN Fans YouTube page. Still working for me. Kind of got worried last week. I logged on to watch some Super Rugby Aotearoa, which we'll talk about here in a second. It wasn't loading, or it was just a blank screen. The chat was rolling. I could hear stuff, but nothing was playing. It started a little bit late, though. It started like 2 or 3 seconds into the match. So that's still working for me. Hopefully it still works this weekend. Moving into Super Rugby Aotearoa on Friday at 1:05 a.m. So by the time this shows out, this match will already be done. We've got Highlanders versus the Blues. And then on Saturday at 1:05 a.m., we've got the Chiefs versus the Crusaders, which leads into the DNVR Rugby Pick of the Week. I'll give you two again. Kind of a tough week last week. We had the Crusaders win, but they didn't cover. And you know what they say, good teams win, great teams cover. So we're looking for the Crusaders to be a great team again. So the picks this week, I got Blues -4.5 and Crusaders -6.5. You can catch both of those matches on ESPN Fans YouTube page again. Like I just said, started a few minutes late, but it's still working for me. And you can catch the DNVR Bet Show every weekday on DNVR's YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter page. And as always, we are gambling with DraftKings. Hopefully we get back on the horse this week with the Blues and the Crusaders. I'm counting on them. I think they'll come through for us this week. Last but not least, the rugby you could watch this weekend. We've got Major League Rugby in action. We've got 6 matches. So start the weekend off. We've got an early one on Saturday with the Seattle Seawolves at the Toronto Arrows. That's on Saturday at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch that on the Rugby Network. Maybe the earliest in the day an MLR match has ever started, I think. I'm not entirely sure, but I can't ever remember, you know, when I worked for MLR and I was watching all the matches as they started. I never remember waking up at 8 a.m. for an 8:30 match on a Saturday. So it'll be fun to watch. Nice little Saturday morning rugby. Next match of the weekend, we've got the New England Free Jacks at NOLA Gold. That's on Saturday at 2 p.m. You can catch that one on the Rugby Network. Third match, Utah Warriors at San Diego Legion. Very interested in this one. This was a, you know, Legion are kind of struggling. Utah started red hot. They've on a little two-game skid now, so will be a good match. I think that's on Saturday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. You can catch that on CBS Sports Network. Los Angeles Giltinis at Houston Sabercats. You can catch that match on Saturday at 6 p.m. Mountain Time on the Rugby Network. Giltinis, obviously, the top of the table. Houston went 2 weeks without scoring, and then they won a big match last weekend. I think they won 34-32. They beat the Legion. So Houston, you know, got some momentum. They're going to run into the freight train that is the Giltinis, and we'll see what happens with that one. Rugby ETL at Austin Gilgronis. That's on Saturday at 6 p.m. Mountain Time as well. You can catch that one on the Rugby Network also. Austin, you know, they started on a two-game losing streak, lost two close matches. Now they've won two close matches. Rugby ATL is very streaky. I think they're, you know, win-lose through the first 4 weeks. So that another one we'll keep an eye on, of course. And then the final match of the weekend, Old Glory DC at Rugby United New York. That one's on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Mountain Time. So just afternoon, eat your lunch, watch your rugby, take a nap, get ready for the week. You can catch that one on the Rugby Network as well. That does it for MLR action this week. Looks like a lot of good games. I know, you know, we're a month into the season. This will be the fourth match a lot of teams play. Fourth and fifth match, I guess, that all the teams will play. So you're starting to get an idea of where people sit through the first quarter of the year. Moving into the halfway point, you'll really start to get a better idea. So these should be good matches. They've been good matches so far this season, and I'm looking forward to checking them out, and I hope that you all are as well. So with that, we'll go ahead and jump into the interview portion of the show. Very excited to have Troy Hall on. Troy is a former USA Eagle, current director of rugby at Clemson, and member of the Clemson Rugby Foundation. And he's going to kind of be leading the troops into, you know, this match against the XOs this weekend. Like I said at the top of the show, it was a good conversation. It was a good opportunity to hear the other side's perspective and just kind of hear what he's doing to get ready for this match and just kind of what he thinks of the idea as an Eagle, as a foreign player that's come over to play for the Eagles, and as a director of rugby, as somebody that has their hands in a lot of grassroots initiatives. It's very interesting to hear his thoughts on, you know, this program here, taking these big, you know, former college football players, former basketball players, former wrestlers. And I think Troy has a unique perspective as well, because being the director of rugby at Clemson, that is like called the college football capital. They've, you know, won national championships within the last 5 years. So he sees the type of athletes that come through Clemson, and you know, it doesn't take much imagination to, you know, dream of what those guys could do playing rugby. And that's the kind of what's going on here. So it's cool to hear his perspective on that as well. I'll stop yapping so much and we'll get to the interview. So with that, we'll go ahead and kick it to my interview with Clemson director of rugby and member of the Clemson Rugby Foundation, Troy Hall.
All right, now welcome onto the show, former USA Eagle, current director of rugby at Clemson, and of course of the Clemson Rugby Foundation, Troy Hall. Troy, how's it going?
Mate, I'm good. I'm good.
Thank
I'm,
you.
Sitting on my back porch and enjoying the Clemson weather.
That's tough to beat. It was kind of snowing here yesterday in Denver a little bit. Got out some heavy rain, so I'm jealous of you. So, Troy, the first question we ask everybody that comes on the show is just, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Yes, mate. So I'm originally from a small beach town in New Zealand, so Coromandel Peninsula. Sort of grew up there, big family. Grew up playing rugby, grew up just sort of hanging out by the beach and doing all water sports. And, you know, I ended up coming to the States through my wife. So my wife, Sarah, she was raised in New York. So sort of cut a long story short, I met her in Australia. 9 months later, I was living in New York, married, and then playing rugby in New York. So yeah, mate, I've had quite the ride, quite the journey, but I've been definitely open opportunities and now I'm obviously in Clemson. So yeah. I try to keep that brief, but there's obviously a lot more to it, but
that's okay. But we'll get into all that stuff. I'm looking forward to jumping into all that. So I know you mentioned you grew up playing rugby. Just kind of tell us like when you got into rugby. Was it, I know a lot of the New Zealand guys I talked to have been, you know, as soon as they could walk, they had a rugby ball. Is that kind of same for you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, where we lived was about, I'd say 300 or 400 meters from our local rugby club. You go down there, kind of you play all your youth rugby in bare feet. So you have no shoes, no cleats, something like that, no boots. So you're running around there Saturday mornings. You play your match. You do your little social afterwards, and then you watch all the. You go through the grades. You go through your U21s, which is kind of like collegiate level here, and then you go through your more senior team. So it's really a full day. I started playing very young. Rugby in the winter and then cricket in the summer and then everything else in between that. So very traditional upbringing in New Zealand with the rugby side of things. Yeah.
Those sound like fun Saturdays. Sounds like how I want to spend my Saturdays.
Yeah, man. I got two brothers. We all played and being from a small town, it's kind of everyone knew everyone. You're all down at the rugby club. You're all kind of kicking the ball around basically for the 7 or 8 hours you're down there. So it's very, very good memories.
Yeah, for sure. And I know you kind of mentioned it a little bit already, but Troy, can you kind of take us through your playing career a little bit? I know you said, you met her in Australia and then you wind up in New York. So can you just kind of take us through, your journey from, the Ripper Rugby up to, playing for the Eagles?
Yeah, man, it was going from New Zealand, I played all my age group rugby there. And then it was funny, as soon as I remember looking at an ad that there was a team recruiting. It was an ad in our local paper. It was a team recruiting for players to go to Perth in Western Australia. And I always remember, and I think this is where the rugby is really special. It can take you anywhere, right? And,
yeah.
I remember being a bit nervous about that, but I jumped on that. They recruited me to go to Perth to play rugby. And they set me up with a job. They set me up with a place to live. And really from that moment on, I was kind of, I got the travel bug, and I went from Western Australia to the UK, played a couple of seasons up there in Yorkshire, up there in the Leeds area. Not that fond of it. I didn't like the weather, so I came back. And went back to Australia, and it's where I met Sarah. And I was actually there. I was planning to be in Australia for a good amount of time at that point because I was like, I wanted to crack like the Western Force Super Rugby team, and I know I was kind of I was putting myself in a good position to do well. And then what do you know, right? I meet Sarah a month later, and plans changed,
yes.
And I ended up going back to the UK just so I could be closer to New York. Then we decided, bugger this, let's do this. So we got married a few months later, ended up moving to New York into an area just outside the city called White Plains. And that's where my wife was going to medical school. I played with the local club, and I had no real aspirations to do. I was happy to play club rugby, but I had really no aspirations at that point to carry on. I was so involved with just newly married and just settling into a new
city.
Yeah,
that's a lot of changes. That's a big whirlwind. I can imagine focus on rugby is kind of hard.
Yeah. And the best thing I did though was to reach out to my local club, like, happens everywhere. And I reached out to White Plains, and I absolutely loved it. And we played teams like, we had a pretty handy team. We played teams like Old Blue in New York, NIAC. And as I started playing a bit more rugby, you start playing these teams, you play good games, and then they start talking to you about, oh, we play in the Super League. We play in like kind of the national tourneys, and that's when there was the Super League, kind of like what the Empire is now, but just like an amateur level.
I've heard a lot about the Super League.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good. I really liked it.
Yeah.
And, so we ended up playing at Old Blue for a bit, and ended up at NIAC. But sort of around that 2007, 2008 time frame, they used to do a big tournament down in Fort Lauderdale. It was like the National ITTs, they call it. And it was like a selection tournament for the Eagles, basically. And I remember having a very good tournament there in 2007. And Al Caravelli at the time was the Sevens coach. He was there, invited me to a camp. And I was like, spoke to Sarah, and I was like, I'm going to go to this camp and see how we do. And it was in the lead up to the Wellington Sevens in 08. So being from New Zealand, watching that tournament, was always amazing. It was at the time when Wellington Sevens was just absolutely on fire. The crowd was huge. It was just a big party and really good atmosphere. Right at the peak of its kind of peak time at the Wellington Sevens. And And I kind of went into that camp like with just kind of a no expectation kind of thing. You know, there were guys at the camp, you know, you're talking sort of Chris Wiles, Todd Clever, Taku Nguyenia.
Yeah.
Like we had a very good team, and we all just came in, we enjoyed ourselves. I mean, we were working hard. And I had a really good camp. And I got selected for that Wellington team. So I was on a plane to New Zealand, like calling the parents, calling the family, going, I'm coming back, but I'm coming back to the Wellington Sevens playing for the Eagles, you know? Yeah. So it was one of those really, it was a really cool moment, to be able to sort of put yourself out there for that week and then just have a really good camp. And then all of a sudden you're on a plane to New Zealand. So then I found myself on the World Series circuit and I was playing and traveling. And that kind of led me into a 15s, look.
Yeah.
You know, I got my first cap for the USA 15 side in 2010, and I got my last cap in 2015. But there was a lot of ups and downs. You know, like it's at a time where you're not a full professional, but you're training like a professional. You're holding down a job. You're doing what you can.
Right.
It was a blast, you know, the teammates I met and the tours we went on to, you know, we traveled everywhere, went to South America and UK and, like I said, New Zealand, Australia, and, you know, you throw in, there was a couple of challenging moments there around World Cup times.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, I was the last player basically to cut at both World Cups in 2011 and 2015.
Oh, man.
So I was in the pool right through. I was playing, and then 31-man squad gets picked. And so basically from World Cup to World Cup, I was the last guy to go. But as much as those were, like, horrific moments,
yeah,
it's taught me a lot. And it's even, you know, as a coach now, it's something I share with players a lot. I'm open and honest about those moments in terms of being – you know, being pretty rough.
Right.
But also teaching a lot about resilience and being kind of, you know, being able to come back from setbacks.
For sure.
So I've kind of flipped that a little bit, and as much as I would have loved to have gone to both World Cups, it wasn't meant to be. And now transitioning into a coaching career, it's I'm sort of right where I want to be now to share those experiences and help players through now.
Yeah.
Whether it's through Clemson, whether it's through the athlete collective, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
I think that's, you know, the best way to handle it. And I guess before we kind of get into your coaching career and some of the stuff that you are doing with the athlete collective, the question I like to ask rugby people, and I guess I really haven't had the chance to because I've been interviewing so many people that are literally just learning how to play rugby. You know, I've played rugby for a month now. Is Troy, do you have like a favorite rugby memory that kind of comes to your mind? And maybe we are jumping the gun a little bit because it might be in a coaching role, but I guess even from your playing career, like, is there one or two memories that just kind of, you know, stick out of the top of your head?
Yeah, there is. As much, yeah, I think of, you know, before I get to that top moment, like,
yeah,
absolutely love my, you know, getting the cap for the USA Eagles, getting awarded it, and, you know, all that work you put in to get there. But I think of a season, I think of a 2010, I think of 2010, and that was when I played for New York Athletic Club. And this is in the Super League, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we found our way. We had a really good season. We ended up playing in the final at Golden Gate out there in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And at Treasure Island there on their field. And it was one of those years because when you're playing in New York, you have these challenges of, like, just to get to training, you got to catch a bus and a train and another bus.
Yes.
And you train on the artificial fields. I forgot what bridge we're under, but it's at Randall's Island, right outside the city, or right in the city, I'll say. And it was one of those seasons where everything just clicked, you know. It was one of those because we had such a great group of guys. We were complete underdogs going into the final because San Francisco was studded. I mean, they were a studded team. They had guys like Samu Manoa playing, and, you know, they were just
right.
They were
just monsters.
They were hands down favorites, right? So we flew out there on the Friday, and we arrived Friday, like Friday afternoon. We play the next day, and then, you know, the boys flew back on the Saturday night, and on that Sunday I actually went into a USA camp, but
yeah,
that game we were down by what was it? Nine. We were down by nine. with about 9 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were at our own end. We had nothing. We had like we had we're at the wrong end of the field.
It wasn't looking good.
It wasn't looking good, and we had a scrum center of the field. And my mate, one of my best friends, Mike Petrie, who's a great Eagle, right? Great mm-hmm. full-time USA Eagle. I was sitting on the right-hand side. Mike drifted across. He switched with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember Samu running across and like this, I was lucky I was fast enough.
Yeah.
He would have absolutely smoked me, right? But I ran a good...
That's not a guy you want to get hit by, right?
No. I think it's part of the reason why I ran so fast. I was like, I didn't want to get nailed by him. And I took it 75 meters and I scored, right?
Yeah.
And that was a converted try. So now we're down by two. And then they kick off. We get the ball back. We somehow got it back to halfway. And we got a penalty. And our Irishman that we had for a year, Pete O'Brien, nailed the penalty from like 50 meters on the side, and I'll exaggerate it just for him if he listens to this. And we had the wind, right? It's always windy. It seemed always windy at Trevor on, and he nailed the conversion up by one. And about 30 seconds left, there was a kickoff remaining. We ended up catching it, clearing it, and the game was over. And that was one of the most. It still gives me goosebumps, mate. It's one of my favorite. Yeah, if not the favorite rugby moment I've had. And I think it was more the group of guys we had. There's a great photo at the end of that, end of the game, where the boys are just all on top of each other, and our coaches, yeah. Mike Tolkien, Eagle coach, and then Bruce McLean runs in, and they're all, it's captured the moment. Whoever, I don't know who took the photo, but it captured the moment really good. And I remember sitting there having a beer after the game, just going, wow, that was a game.
That's
and it's
awesome.
Something that we still talk about as a group.
Yeah.
We had a Zoom call a few months back it was in 2020, the 10th anniversary of our win.
Yeah.
And we're still very connected. We still talk a lot when we can. And it's something that we will share for a long time. So
that's awesome.
So, you know, it was a good moment, mate.
That's why I like asking those questions. They're always so different. Like if, you know, I had Luke White last year, I remember one of his favorite memories was, you know, playing high school rugby in Australia. And it's always so different. And, you know, like you said, you didn't even have to think about it. That's the one that comes right to the top of your head. And you're still getting goosebumps talking about it. I love that question. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Pleasure.
Troy, I guess now we can kind of jump into your coaching career. Like, when did you decide coaching was something you wanted to do? And I guess, how did you get into it? Maybe it wasn't something you decided, it just kind of found you.
It did. I mean, it was – so if I think back to when I was in New York City, like I was involved with Play Rugby USA, which is a they do a lot of youth programming and sort of whether it's in league, flag rugby, all this in the city in New York. And I got involved in there a little bit. Just kind of like I dabbled a bit there, right? I was still playing, obviously, but I dabbled a little bit. When my wife and I moved to Oregon, so we moved to Oregon in 2011, Mark Griffin, who was the founder of Play Rugby USA, he connected me with Jen Heinrich, who is now in charge of Girls Rugby Inc. And she's doing a lot of good work in the girls rugby world. And she was the CEO of Rugby Oregon. So we basically looked after all of the youth and high school rugby in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing was great because she was looking for someone to kind of lead the charge in terms of youth development. And this is something I was sort of looking at a little bit. I loved working with kids. I still do. I think grassroots rugby is kind of where a lot of focus should be put.
Right.
And we had a great conversation. I ended up getting hired full time by Rugby Oregon, and this was in a balance while I was still playing too. So it worked for me because it was.
Yeah.
Well, it worked for the both of us because I could still travel and play, but I would still be able to sort of do my role with Rugby Oregon. And so I really started at the grassroots. My whole focus was visiting schools. You know, sharing and normalizing the game of rugby inside communities, and then starting teams, educating coaches, you know, running camps, running clinics. And it was kind of very an entrepreneurial role.
Right.
And it's kind of like where I've gone anyway. It's in that sort of starting my own business. And it was a lot of that came from that okay, Troy, go grow the game of rugby any way you want, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like,
go do it.
Yeah, and we saw some really good success at the youth level out there, because they already had a very strong high school competition, but they didn't have much under high school. And you know, fast forward 18 months, 2 years, we had something like 30-plus youth teams. We were running, like, full-capacity camps, full-capacity clinics. And a lot of that was done through a lot of the work and exposure we did in the schools.
Right.
And, you know, natural progression from there. I was doing a lot of youth and elementary work and middle school. I started offering sort of camp settings for our high school players out there. And then I started asking the question around, okay, where are you guys going beyond high school to play rugby?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them go to University of Oregon. A lot of them go to Oregon State University. Some go elsewhere. A lot of players go to those universities, like in state. And I started hearing a few things around players not continuing to play. You know, I had more fun at high school playing rugby versus college. You know, and as a rugby enthusiast, right? I hated hearing that.
Right.
I didn't like someone going from our programs at Rugby Oregon, then going to Oregon State and kind of like losing motivation. And again, I feel very much the same way here at Clemson. I want to make sure that players that come in are having a good experience and hanging around, right? So,
right.
And that's kind of where my coaching started kicking into another gear. I was like, okay, I wanted to get more into, because I was always doing this sort of camps, clinics, that type of thing. I wasn't really running any teams. And so a role came up at Oregon State. It was a flexible role where we were about to move to Charleston.
Yeah.
And so I was working out like an agreement where I ended up commuting from Charleston to Oregon State to coach, which sounds crazy. Sounds crazy, right?
Yeah.
But funny enough, it worked really well, because at the time my wife and I were starting our own business, and then there was some flexibility there, and you know, it was just too good of an opportunity to say no to.
Yeah.
And Sarah and the family were good with it, so I was commuting back and forth. Again, it was kind of like a program that had to be reset from start, like sort of new standards. This everything was new about what we did, and I was lucky to have a great group of that were juniors at the time. There's about 7 to 8 juniors that were just fully committed, and they had as much of an impact on the team as I did when I was there, and I learned a lot, you know, I learned a lot about college rugby, college life, like the challenges they face as a club team, very similar to what we face at Clemson. I'm much more aware of it now.
Yeah.
And I've used all those learnings now and putting them into Clemson and adapting it to what we do here. So it's, I really enjoy coaching. I probably enjoy the off the field piece more as much as the on the field piece. Mm-hmm. I love getting to know the guys. I love hearing about what they do outside of rugby, because I'm a big believer in what you do outside of rugby can help you become an on field performer, you know.
For and, sure.
Gotta have fun, gotta have a good time when you're out there and learning and getting challenged, and you know, these are college guys. They're 18 through 23, I think. They've got such a long career in front of them if they want to do it, you know. So if I can help them you know, enjoy their rugby and they remember and they feel good at the field, they feel a part of something bigger. That's what I want, because there's, like I say, there's, you got to have that balance at this level. I feel like you do anyway, especially
for sure,
as a club team. So it's we'll see what happens moving forward, but I'm enjoying being where I'm at and having the opportunity to share my experiences and knowledge and have a good time along the way.
For sure. So I know you're saying you're at Oregon State still. Well, kind of. You're out there, you know, you're commuting to Oregon State from Charleston, South Carolina. So how do you wind up at Clemson? When does that opportunity like present itself, and how did that happen?
So I got an email from there's a Kiwi fella, Simon Reed, who runs the Wando High School program in Charleston. And I remember him, this would have been November of 2019, right? And he sends me an email saying, Jim Gain, who's the he's basically he runs the Clemson Rugby Foundation.
Yeah.
He's starting a high school team on James Island, which is in Charleston, like beautiful spot. He goes, he needs someone just to come and help. And at the time, I had no idea who he was, like Clemson Rugby. I didn't even know what Clemson was, so yeah. I'll be honest. And so I ended up meeting him for coffee. And then he shares with me a little bit about, yeah, I'm actually, I coached at Clemson a while back. I'm a Clemson alum. Mm-hmm. I run the Clemson Rugby Foundation. And, you know, I did a little bit of research, as you do. You do a little bit of a background, like, okay, here he is. And I ended up going and helping him coach a small group of high school kids. I think it was three sessions maybe. And again, he was trying to start a team. There wasn't a lot of kids down there, but we had a good time. We sort of, it was more like a small group session. And he started sort of dangling the carrot a little bit, talking about Clemson rugby, how they've got no coach right now. We're looking to hire someone. And at that point, I still was like, I wasn't really looking, you know?
Right.
I was just asking questions about it. I was like, what are you trying to do? What is your plans here? Like, how, like, you know, what does that even look like?
Generally interested in what was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he started talking a little bit about the Clemson Rugby Foundation and their mission to kind of, again, their missions to normalize our game, to sort of create more experiences for youth players and, as well as support, obviously, the Clemson team itself. You know, support, like obviously providing coaches, providing leadership, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that intrigued me about it was with the youth side of it, because obviously with my Rugby Oregon experience and then my coaching experience, it was kind of like a mesh between the both.
Yeah.
I'm very genuine when I talk about grassroots rugby, and it's something that I love to do, you know. And when he talked about, as part of the role, like it's kind of like a split role there, and you manage it how you want to manage it. And that's what intrigued me. It was like the uniqueness of it, you know? And, you know, fast forward, it would have been April 2020, bang, like we're obviously in a situation where we are, like with COVID and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I was hired. I went up for two sessions and then bang, we're told we couldn't train anymore.
Yeah.
So we had to get very, you know, creative around virtual meetings and all that stuff. And again, it was a similar program to Oregon State. It was very, very club-like, you know, it wasn't a huge roster. But again, there was this core group of guys that really wanted to see it change and get better and start moving in another direction. So again, that similar, again, it's funny how similar those two roles between Oregon State and Clemson are.
Mm.
It's, you know, you got to come in and create sort of, you know, obviously lead by example as a coach and you know, create an environment where players are learning and having a good time and you're retaining the players. And, you know, we've got a 45-man squad now, pretty, very engaged. And, you know, we've got a long way to go, of course, because we've got a lot of new players still, but it's, you know, we're at a point now where it's like, okay, what can we do with it sort of in the next 6-12 months, you know?
So yeah, that's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
And I guess we can talk about, I mean, we obviously have you on. We're going to talk about the Exos upcoming match against your boys down at Clemson here next weekend. But I wanted to ask you, too, while I had you on, is just, can you tell us a little bit about the Athlete Collective? So I've had Dan Power on. I've had Sam Windsor on. I know they're both involved in the Athlete Collective, but I was just wondering, you know, if you could kind of talk about it.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. So it's a bit of a, because my wife and I have our own consulting company, Hall Wellness and Sports, and it's a bit of a merge between both, right?
Yeah.
And the whole reason we started our company was to provide players with high performance resources outside of rugby, and do it in a way where it's kind of like you can do it from anywhere, right?
Right.
Because as a player, I mean, as an Eagle, I've always felt like it was something that was missing. We talk about like mental performance, talk about nutrition skills, you talk about sort of physical well-being, mental well-being, all that stuff, right? And that's we wanted, our whole mission was to provide players with that who were looking for that, to help them sort of get their head in a better place and prepare better for rugby. And the Athlete Collective is not that indifferent to that. You know, we provide high performance resources for players that are you know, looking to maximize their preparation. You know, but we also we're in the areas of post rugby too. So, you know, you envision a player who's 1 or 2 years from retiring from rugby. You know, not everyone has that transition. You know, it's never great.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be horrible either. You know, so it's one of those areas that we help players navigate and guide through, whether it be from a health and wellness standpoint, whether it be from I want to start a business. Mm-hmm. How can you help us start a business so we can help MLR players and start kind of building a program or building their own business?
Right.
We help from that, everything through the transition, right? So you have your performance side, which is the high performance offerings and that sort of service. But then you take it through, you know, let's say you've got an MLR player that's absolute peak of their game right now. So how can they maximize their brand?
Yeah.
So we have people involved that can help players maximize their brand. And then through to post rugby, where we can help players slot them into a network, help them get jobs, or at least put together a resume that's going to be attractive. You know, financial wellness. So everything from, you know, budgeting and taxes, all that stuff.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, it's an all encompassing sort of, company.
Yeah.
I'm very much involved in the HP side of things. So my wife is a doctor of physical therapy and nutritionist. So we do a lot of the HP offerings. So we create a lot of the programs and, you know, develop products and, you know, everything's accessible. Everything's, you know, we've people involved all over the world. So
right.
it's funny how everything's gone to Zoom, you know, like
right.
a year ago, everything was like Zoom. And it's funny, Sarah and I were already doing sort of a lot of consulting on Zoom before everyone went to Zoom, you know? So yeah, but I think we're filling a space and just, you know, providing that type of upskilling and knowledge for those players that are really looking to get after it.
Yeah.
You know, really like committed, really want to get after it, really want to learn more about it and not leave anything on the table, as they say.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and I think all that stuff's super important. I know I've seen it bubbling up over the last year since it really kind of, you know, got moving last summer.
I
always wanted to make sure I get the chance to ask the people involved in it about it when they come on. So thank you for letting us know about all that stuff. So we want to transition back into Clemson a little bit. So like I said, XOs are heading out to Clemson to play Clemson next weekend. So just, Troy, are you kind of, you know, what's your overall impression of this XO program? Are you a fan of the idea? You know, just kind of want to know what your general thoughts on this whole project.
I think it's a great idea. Straight off the bat, man. I think it's creative. It's thinking outside the box. I think just being involved at Clemson and then previously Oregon State, I'm always looking for creative ways to get players out. But I have, you know, I'm hands down, like, I think they've done a great job with setting it up and getting the buy-in from people and having it be a professional environment. I think a lot of times you can get players out
right.
who are brand new to the game, but they get put into a club or a, you know, this could be at any level, right? But they get to train like twice a week and then play on Saturday, right? Like,
yeah.
I think you guys are creating an environment where the players are fully engaged, fully involved, and they get to be out there like multiple times per week and getting good coaching, you know,
for sure,
creating good cohesion and all that stuff. And I think it's I told Mark Bullock when I spoke to him a few weeks ago when we're sorting out this game, I think it's a great idea to increase the speed of their IQ and increase the development of their skills in a shorter time.
Right. I think like having worked at, you know, Oregon State and then now at Clemson, like college football powerhouse, like you know, you see firsthand the type of, you know, facilities that it's a professional program in a, you know, amateur quote air quote environment, you know? So, I think like you said, this transition that these guys have shown, and even, you know, I've just been, you know, walk down to practice or, you know, pop my head into the weight room and like seeing how they work is they work like pro athletes. They work like, this is very literally their job. And it's, you know, from November to now, even in April, it's the progress has been unbelievable in my uneducated opinion, just, you know, from what I've seen. So you kind of touched on it there, like being in a full-time training environment is the, you know, it's been the difference, I think, so far.
I think, I think that's, you're right on there. I think environment is everything, whether it's, rugby, wherever you are. I think if you can create an environment where players can flourish and give them the opportunity to do so, is massive, you know. Yeah. Part of like, not to go back to the athlete collective.
No, you're good.
It's the same thing, you know. It's like we want to create an environment for players that come in to be able to flourish.
Right.
And that's what we're doing for the XOs. And I'm really looking forward to sort of meeting some of the players and catching up with the coaches and just having a good chat when they come out and just seeing it up close, you know. So yeah.
I know we were talking off air a little bit. You said that haven't been able to play many matches this spring. So how do you prepare your team to compete against like such a unique team like the XOs? Do you do anything different? Is it just kind of business as usual, or is there like any different approach at all to this match?
I think it's a bit of a split approach for us. I think with the lack of game time, we try and as much as possible try and like simulate game environments of training.
Yeah.
And again, I tell the boys, it's like, it's how you approach this. Like, we can go into this game and think, oh, we've played no games. Like, as soon as you start thinking like that, then you got no chance, you know? So a lot of this approach to this game is very much in our head, you know? So we're putting in a lot of work at training. The boys are following the Instagram side of the Rugby Factory and the XO social media pages, and they're enjoying watching that. And, you know, I'm sort of, they're coming to training with different ideas. Like, they're watching it and kind of like, okay, how can we combat this? You know, because we know physically that you guys, they're big boys, you know, so we have to create a game plan that's okay. What's going to help us? Like, what's going to be tap into our strengths, but also make life difficult for you guys as well, you know? So,
right.
But again, it's like, you can plan all you want, but at the end of the day, you got to go out there and do it and approach it in a certain way where you're just going after it. And the boys are building that confidence and belief in themselves. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard, but I told them the other day, like, when we used to play teams like Samoa and Tonga, and like, it was always a different type of game, you know? It was always like, okay, physically they're going to be at it. And it's why I call it a test match. It's because it's a mental and physical test, you know. So now the boys are up for it. It's going to be definitely a test of their resilience. But hopefully it's a good competition and it's a good game.
Yeah.
End of the day.
I agree. I know. Looking forward to seeing what comes out of it. And I know you just mentioned like the Rugby Factory's done a good job of putting out all these short clips. So has there been anybody on the XOs, like any players in particular that have, you know, caught your eye that could potentially give you guys a headache? And then I guess to follow up with that, if you wanted to, you know, talk about a couple of guys on your team that you may want to highlight.
So in terms of names, I'll be honest with you, I've been watching it, but I haven't been paying attention to the names.
Right.
I've been looking at like what players are doing, like, you know, players that are kind of running good lines or making a good play. And I think that, again, like, whoever's leading the Rugby Factory Instagram site's doing a good job. So I've just enjoyed sort of watching them progress and just sort of having a look at just some certain things they're doing. And but in terms of names, that I'm sorry, I can't.
No, I think that's totally fine because there's no there's no commentary over it, so I don't expect you to know.
I know some of the boys have been looking at some of the names on wherever their profiles are, but it's I've been just doing my kind of general overview of the social media pages. In terms of our guys, so we've got a couple of players that are coming through that are pretty young still. Our open side Baylor Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He transferred from Arkansas State last year, looking for a new experience. You know, he's from Charleston, so he's a bit closer to home now. He's enjoying it. It's I think he's someone that's he's only a sophomore, but he's someone that's very capable.
Yeah.
We've got a good junior group of our fly half, Tom Goodall. He's been around for a while, so he's a junior. He's a pretty handy fly half. Our fullback, Chris Orich. I actually did a one-on-one session with him this morning.
Yeah.
Very handy player. We've got some good boys up front too. We've got some good size up front. Harry Robinson at lock. We've got Reed Brandt at number 8. So there's some players out there that are very capable of of you know, putting in some good plays on the 17th, and it's something I'm trying to develop more well-rounded athletes here too. It's very much our forwards need to be able to catch and pass. You know, very multi-skilled, multifaceted players. So yeah, mate, it should be some. We've got a good core group of guys there in key positions, and we're also going to have some new players in the mix too. So who are going to be like, "Wow, this is my first game of rugby." So it's not indifferent to some of you guys.
Yes, for sure. That's what I was saying. There's probably a few XOs that might be playing their first game of rugby as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm excited about it, Troy. So I just wanted to give you a chance to, you know, if you could let us know when, where the match will be played, you know, time, location. And I know a lot of people are curious if it'll be streamed. So if you have any insight on that, it'd be awesome to let us know about too.
Yeah, so the game will be played. It's actually going to be a big day. So it's going to be a full day of rugby. There's going to be a curtain raiser, our development side. I think our B side will be playing a tentative match versus UGA. Before the XOs and Clemson kick off at 11 a.m. It'll be played at our home field, which is at a beautiful grass field, kind of just 5-6 minutes off campus. It's called the Pier, P-I-E-R. So it'll be 11 a.m. kickoff there, and followed by a couple of high school games as well. So it's going to be a full day of rugby. Yeah. At our home field. And in terms of streaming, it's something that we haven't done a great job in the past. We streamed one of our Interscope matches recently, and that was basically done via a guy's phone on the side. So we don't know what that looks like yet. I'm hoping we can get something, even if it's just that, we'll probably have something at least watchable from the side. But it's something that we need to do better, but we're still looking for a good way to do it, and someone who can do it who wants to put out like a proper experience, you know.
And I think that's okay. I don't think people realize how hard it is to stream stuff.
I know, right?
Yeah,
I know.
It's tough, man. It's not as simple as, you know, trotting out a phone, and you got to make sure it looks good and all that stuff. So
yeah,
and I've seen the grounds on your Instagram, Troy. It looks beautiful. I'm jealous. I can't make the trip down there to come watch it, but like I said, looking forward to seeing what happens and seeing the clips, of course, that Rugby Factory puts out. So Troy, that's all the questions I had for you, man. I usually leave this last part open. If you want to, you know, shout out anything else or anything you want to promote, go for it.
No, I appreciate your time. A few months, or it would have been a couple months ago when I spoke with Mark about this match, and it's nice to see all this come together. And
yeah,
we're going to put on, you know, a really good event. We want this event here to be something that the XOs like really remember. You know, just not just on the field, but also the environment we create is a bit of a theme for the day. Is like be a great rugby ambassador.
Yeah.
So we've got buy-in from the team, the community, and we're going to have kids out there. We've got obviously have the high school teams. Just make it a really good day and something that you guys will sort of, you know, as you walk on that, as you get on the plane on the way home, you're like, that was fun.
Yeah.
And I want to go back. So, we're looking forward to hosting you guys. And we've got a Friday night kind of meet and greet for the players all to get together, have some light snacks and just kind of catch up and talk rugby and share experiences. And we didn't want to miss that piece because I know the XOs are actually flying out pretty quickly after the game.
Yeah.
So we've added that on the Friday. We're all excited to just get together and enjoy some good competition and most of all just like meet some new people, mate.
For sure.
And hear different stories and different experiences, because I think it's too good of an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. You nailed it, Troy. But that's, like I said, that's all the questions I have for you, Troy. Thank you so much for your time, man. Really enjoyed it.
Sweet, mate. That sounds good.
All right, I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Clemson Director of Rugby and former USA Eagle Troy Hall. You know, I certainly did. And again, I say it every week, but the guests make the show. Big thank you to Troy for coming to chat with me. It was a rough interview, to be completely honest. My computer was crashing, was having a bad day, but Troy was a good sport, very patient, let me work all that stuff out, and we got the interview done. So big thank you to Troy. I really appreciate it. As always, I appreciate every guest that comes on. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation. With that, we'll go ahead and jump into the required reading portion of the show. Required reading this week is actually required listening. You have to go listen to the Rugby Pick'em that friend of the program, Brendan, put out this week. Brendan was on the show a couple weeks ago, but he traveled up to Massachusetts to attend the first ever New England Free Jacks match, documented it all on a recorder, interviewed a bunch of people in the stands. Awesome listen. Very funny. It was a nice listen. I'm encouraging everyone to go check it out. I really enjoyed it, and I am certain everybody else will too. So make sure you go check that out. As always, I will link that into the article that houses this podcast. That does it for required listening. Nice and easy 20-minute listen. So make sure you go and check that out. We'll go ahead and close the show with the loop. Don't have a whole lot to say in the loop here. Follow us on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby and at Colton Strickler. I'll be out of town this weekend, so I'm not going to be as on my phone and as on Twitter keeping up with the XO stuff as I usually am. Like I said, I asked Troy. I've been trying to communicate with people just to kind of learn, you know, what's going on, if there's going to be a stream. And it sounds like there might be. If there is, of course, I will push you in the direction of the stream because I will want to watch it as much as I can as well. Keep up with all the stuff that we're doing on DDNVR.com. I've really been trying to put out a lot more written pieces in the last couple of weeks. I'm doing a you know, MLR recap every Monday. Been trying to write some more stuff about the XOs, especially XOs have a big, you know, stretch coming up in these next few weeks. I think they have a match like every weekend until the middle of May. So it'll be a big few weeks for matches, a lot of good stuff, a lot of interesting things to talk about, and I'm going to do my best to document that all for you. And you can find all that at thednvr.com. Like I just said, make sure you check out all the good work that's on there. Broncos, Rockies, Avs, Nuggets, you know, anything, Rams, Buffs, anything, golf, you can find it on there. All good stuff. And that's all I got for everybody this week. I hope you enjoy the matches this weekend. I hope you had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend. And I'll catch you all back here next week.